On behalf of the Judge Advocate General's Office, I hereby call this hearing to order. I've asked Captain Gerald Rain of the Maelstrom, Captain Mitchell Thomas of the Kismet, and Captain Neville Longfellow of the Sarek to join us today for this inquiry. Admiral Avery has chosen to abstain from serving on the Judicial Tribunal, instead serving as counsel for the defense. Are there any questions?
No, Commander Keiss.
Very well. Would counsel like the charges to be read?
We waive that right for now, Commander. We know why we're here, and would just as soon get this hearing started so we can move on to more important business.
Admiral Avery, there is nothing more important than the upholding of the Prime Directive.
Spoken like a lawyer.
And I would greatly appreciate it if you would refrain from such comments. They could be taken as trying to influence the Tribunal.
Of course. You are correct, Commander. My apologies. I would never want to think that the captains under my command would be swayed by my opinion.
Admiral, do I need to find the defendant a different representative?
No, Commander. My apologies. From this point forward, I order Captains Rain, Thomas, and Longfellow to ignore my snide remarks for the duration of this inquiry and to remain impartial in their decisions.
How can he order them to be impartial? Is that something that can be ordered?
Thank you, Admiral, for the effort. I would still appreciate it, however, if you could refrain.
Of course, Commander.
Now, if we can get back to business, I will formally start this inquiry. Captain Connerly, you stand accused of violating the Prime Directive. How do you plead?
Not guilty.
Space, the final frontier. History, the tapestry on which those exploits are woven. These are the voyages of multiple generations of Starfleet officers who have sought out new life and new civilizations. As each generation boldly goes forth, those that follow build upon the legacy.
That could have gone better.
No, it was fine. We got our point across.
Do you think I have a chance?
Oh yeah. The worst they could do is give you a reprimand. But I don't think it'll come to that.
Why?
These men know you. They've served beside you, and they know you would never act immorally.
Good point. If there were justice in the universe.
Oh, there's justice. And I don't want to hear you thinking otherwise. Do you remember that time I was brought up before the committee?
You mean after Cherubis 2?
Yeah. I was taken in for that event, and I made it out again.
They really aren't the same.
But they are both violations of the Prime Directive. Remember? We were getting ready to pick up the cultural observation crew. The team leader was just reporting in. Welcome aboard, Commander Blitman. Did you have a nice stay?
Relatively speaking, Captain, yes. It was a great opportunity to study a culture during the equivalent of Earth's Upper Paleolithic era. Their development has greatly improved since the last team's visit 30 years ago.
How so?
Well, for one thing, they've switched from using flaked rock during hunting to actual handmade flint blades. It took humans thousands of years to develop to that stage. They've made the advancement in mere decades!
May I ask a question, Captain?
What is it, Mr. Timonier?
I'm not overly familiar with the study of ancient races, but what does all of that mean?
It means, Lieutenant, that if this society were to continue with this level of development, they would theoretically develop at a much faster rate than any other species we have ever encountered. Metaphorically speaking, it's like a 6-month-old infant winning a national spelling bee.
A spelling bee? That's an odd prize. And how would a flying insect spell? Are you saying it's able to speak or form the letters in some other fashion?
No, Jahas. A spelling bee is an earth contest to test a child's capability to spell.
My apologies, Commander.
No problem.
The equivalent for your tribe would be an infant going on the Great Hunt.
Ah, I see.
But we digress.
Do you plan to recommend Starfleet send out another observation team in another few decades, Commander?
That won't be necessary, Captain.
Why not, Commander? By what you've described, I would think that they would have advanced even farther in that time, perhaps even entering their own Mesolithic era.
I'm afraid that's not going to happen, sir.
Why not?
They are currently a society of complete carnivores. At their current rate of consumption and population growth, we don't foresee their food sources lasting another 2 years. In that time, they'll hunt the planet's animals to extinction.
With their advanced development, might they discover farming?
The introduction of farming is a key part of the Mesolithic era. But for all their advancement in other areas, they haven't taken even the first step needed there. And they may not. Ever.
Now it's my turn to not understand. Isn't a diminished food source usually one of the ignitions of farming? It leads people to take the seeds from vegetation and raise them in a controlled environment.
In most circumstances, yes. But this environment is unusual. While there is edible vegetation in the area, most of it's either located at the tops of the trees or appears more dangerous than it actually is.
Dangerous?
The rind is tough and covered with sharp spines.
So while they could gather it and eat, they have no incentive to ever even try it.
There are also edible roots. Obviously, they're underground. But the natives haven't had a reason to go digging in the dirt for food. When I said complete carnivores, that's precisely what I meant!
So you're saying that, because these people will be 5 years short of discovering food that's good for them,
they will all be dead within 3 years!
Let me get this straight. For want of some fruit,
the kingdom is lost.
Very George Herbert of you, Captain.
It's something that shouldn't be allowed to happen.
There's nothing that can be done, Captain. It's natural evolution for this planet.
No, it's not. It's a cruel trick of nature.
Lieutenant, I don't believe you understand the extent of the situation.
Actually, Commander, I think my Chief of Security has a very firm grasp of the situation. He understands that, because these people are lacking a single piece of knowledge, they're going to die.
And who knows what they would be capable of contributing to the universe in the future. You said that they are advancing at an incredible rate. They could prove to be a superior race, if given the chance.
Hypothetically speaking, I suppose you're right. But none of that matters. They lack that piece of knowledge, and therefore their fate is sealed.
Not necessarily.
Captain, I hope you aren't insinuating what I think you're insinuating.
Connerly, tell Ko to go over the observation team's research and double-check it. I also want projections on the advancement of this species. I want to know what they may be capable of. I know that it'll have to be generalities. I just want potential probabilities.
Captain, what you're suggesting goes against the Prime Directive. We cannot interfere in the natural development of this species!
That's debatable, Commander.
No, it isn't, Captain! Your assignment was to come here and pick my team up, delivering us back to Starbase 36 for debriefing. I am sure that there was nothing in those orders about artificially advancing the species to their next stage of development.
I'm not usually the type to pull rank, Commander, but it isn't up to you to interpret my orders. I can do that just fine on my own.
But...
Connerly, assist Commander Blitman with recovering the rest of his team's equipment after you've relayed my orders to Ko. When you're finished, meet Ko and I in my ready room in, say, 2 hours.
2 hours. Aye, Captain.
But... What just happened to you?
You committed a cardinal sin aboard a starship.
What's that?
Telling the captain what he can't do.
Enter.
Are you ready for us, Captain?
Connerly. Yeah, come on in.
Good afternoon, Captain.
Ko, did you have any luck?
Depends on your definition of luck, sir.
Let me guess. Blitman's projections are correct.
Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. We couldn't blow a hole in his theory with a photon torpedo.
I was afraid you were going to say that. I was really hoping that nature would give us a hand on this one.
I'm sorry, Captain.
What about the other part of the project?
Please keep in mind that I can only do so much with the present data.
Understood, Lanier. Just tell me what you've got.
To be honest, Captain, the theoretical variables are too high to calculate. There's no way of telling what will happen in the next 10,000 years. Between now and then, their sun could go supernova. They could be oppressed by an alien race.
I understand, Lanier. Just give me your best case scenario.
Well, theoretically, if they remain unimpeded in their development, they will probably surpass standard Federation development in roughly 8 centuries.
Impressive. To go from Cro-Magnon to spaceman by the 32nd century.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, of course. So where does this leave us, Captain? I mean, technically, Littman's correct. Do anything to help them would be a violation of the Prime Directive.
Theoretically.
I'm sorry, Captain, but no. There's nothing theoretical about that one.
I've been sitting here thinking about that. The biggest problem that these people have is the fact that they don't realize that they have the food they need all around them.
That's a rather large problem, Captain.
We need to come up with a way to show them without actually revealing ourselves. The last thing they need is a benevolent provider to become dependent upon.
You mean that isn't God, eh, Captain?
Or the Prophet, sir.
Correct. I don't want them worshipping us.
Do you have any ideas how we would pull this off, Captain?
Well, the first step is to get them to recognize the vegetation for the food that it is. Once they find it and try it, hopefully they'll like it and seek out more of it.
Are you suggesting that we just lay out a trail of fruit for them to follow?
Sort of. But there's going to be a lengthy progression from picking to planting. We also need to introduce them to the roots as well.
Teaching them how to fish.
Rather than giving it to them, yes.
But according to Blitman's report, the fruit is at the top of the trees. How are they supposed to get it?
The old-fashioned way. Climb. Plus, we'll need to leave the more accessible, spine-covered fruit open so that it can be eaten.
All while not being seen. Simple.
Put together a team, Commander. Report in every half hour while you're on the surface. Take a security detail with you, and make sure that you're not seen.
Yes, Captain. Co, you're with me.
Oh, and Commander?
Yes, Captain?
If anyone asks, you're simply following orders. If anything's going to hit the fan around here, I'd rather make sure that I'm the only one who's going to be downwind.